Charlie owned the night, but we own the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that is 100% made in America. He knows that a Chinaman is really a ship that sails to China. Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, thank you, Drew McMillan. What a very, very nice introduction to our regular Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Drew McMillan is my Canadian nephew, and if you didn't catch that Canadian accent there, it sneaks out every once in a while. I'm going to be talking to Drew as our year progresses here in 2022. We're going to be having a family reunion in California now that all the mask mandates are falling like redwood trees at a lumberjack festival. And freedom is returning to the United States. I couldn't be happier about that. And we're going to all get together for Thanksgiving in a few months at my daughter's house in Orange County, California. So we're looking forward to that. And what we are doing here is talking Medicare. We're trying to help people who are approaching that Medicare decision time to feel comfortable with the fact that Medicare is not all that complicated. It's actually when you make a couple of decisions and you feel good about those decisions or you've gotten good advice, you've got nothing to worry about, and you're going to be looking at a long, happy life of Medicare bliss. And that's what we're all about, helping people feel good about the decisions that people have to make for their Medicare coverages going forward after they turn 65 or after they retire. They could be 80 and not have Medicare until they decide to leave their employer's health plan. And all of a sudden, that's where a guy like me steps in and says, hey, I can help you out. Anyway, what we often do when we start the podcast is we ask Randy to play our 30-second radio spot. So I'm going to be really quiet, and hopefully he'll get the hint that we'd like to hear that radio spot. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. Thank you very much, Randy. Basically, what we do is we encourage people to pay attention to the podcast or pay attention to the book, which is sold at Amazon.com. That's Medicare for the Lazy Man in several forms. In fact, today I'm going to be trying to figure out how to upload the Audible files so that soon there will be an Audible book. Now, Randy and I have experience with uploading those files, where they sit on them for like 3-4 months at a time. And I just read a little blurb yesterday that says, when you upload the files that are in excellent condition, then we will have them published as a book for you in 10 days. I say they're liars. They may be damn liars, but we've never seen them be that efficient before. I'm looking forward to seeing whether that 10 days is really true. So I'm going to try to start the clock running today. Randy, I'll report the results to you in 10 days. I'll be able to tell you whether they fulfilled their promise or not. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, it's been kind of an eventful weekend. I was reading the internet earlier before we started recording, and there's been a couple things pop up. I don't know whether it's actually going to happen or not, but I had read someplace that they're going to start having a weigh-in at the Oscars. Because over the weekend, we had a couple men that go after each other that really one was outweighing the other by a significant portion. And so the other thing...
Mismatched, huh?
Well, they were very mismatched. And the other thing that I had heard, now this is really stretching it, but I also heard they were going to put up betting windows.
Well, I don't know. I don't watch the Oscars. I never have. I haven't been interested in, you know, that kind of thing where they basically are all rubbing each other's backs and so forth. But it didn't look like a betting crowd. It looked like they all kind of had the same lefty attitude about the fact that you can insult somebody for a joke And and there's no consequence. There's no negative consequence for it, at least none that I've seen so far.
Well, as far as I know, now, granted, I'm no expert historian on this of the Oscars, but as far as I know, this is the first time that anybody who ever walked up on stage on the Oscars and smacked the host.
Well, they've done some other disgusting things on the Oscars over the years. So, and I will say that if I had to choose one of the two people involved in that, I'm going to go with Chris Rock as being the aggrieved party. And the reason for that is years ago, and I might have been when he was on Saturday Night Live, he put out a video probably 6 or 7 minutes long, and it's highly entertaining. But it should be taken as a public service announcement by all young boys and, you know, teenagers and maybe even people in their 20s who might be prone to bad behavior. The title of his video, and I recommend people look for this because it's really, it's not only hilarious, but it's also sending an excellent message to the youth of today. The title of it is How Not to Get Your Ass Kicked by the Police.
And, well, that sounds like a good topic.
It really is. I mean, he goes through all of the bad behavior that the police might encounter when they pull somebody over. And, it's presented in a really highly entertaining way. But when you stand back and take a look at it, basically, it's common sense advice to kids that are prone to be self-destructive by, you know, engaging in bad behavior instead of showing the police officers some respect. So I highly recommend it. How Not to Get Your Ass Kicked by the Police is the name.
I'm going to look that one up. I think it's probably worth the listen, like you say, because that's all good advice, I'm sure, no matter how old you are.
Yeah, my father grew up in Ida Belle, Oklahoma, and he told me that small town cops are nothing to be trifled with. And he learned that because when his father, who was a judge, dropped dead. My dad was 10 years old. And so his mother went to work as the county clerk. And I think part of her revenue, part of her income came from selling license plates back in those days. And then I think it was like 1930. They would change license plates every year. So you'd have to go to the county and or the DMV or whatever and get a new set of license plates. And so she would take my father and his little brother up to the prison at McAllister, Oklahoma, like once every month or two, and get a stack of license plates that then she would sell to the people as their plates expired. And that was part of the revenue that she got for being a county employee. And she would sit outside that prison and tell those two boys that that's where they were going to live when they grew up. And my father took it to heart. He said, boy, you know, he had a weird relationship with authority. Of course, he was, you know, highly accomplished in his own right. But when it came to authority, he did not mess around. You know, you do what those cops say and don't be playing games because they don't find it funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I've heard stories not so much about Oklahoma or anything in the States, but I have a number of different friends that were born in foreign countries. Uh-huh. And they tell similar stories. And I think the cops, for example, in some of the European countries, they probably are even a little bit more edgy than the cops here, because I've heard stories where even if your taillight's out, if you give them any, lip, they will kick you all the way down to the police station to give you a ticket.
And Mexico was the thing when I went to school in Tucson. I always heard about driving around in Mexico and the trouble you could get into without doing anything that normally we would consider to be troublemaking. All the cop has to be is in a bad mood.
Yep, exactly. No, I totally agree with you and totally get it. I am not going to give a cop any guff ever.
Right. Yeah. It just doesn't pay because who's got all the cards on his side of the table?
Yeah. He's got all the cards. I got nothing.
Yeah. There you go.
It's not good odds. It's not good odds at all.
Exactly right. But, you know, little kids, when I say little kids, I'm talking about teenagers and maybe early 20s, their brains don't work the same way. There has to be a maturation process that occurs for some people before they get with the program. And so that's where a public affairs video, a public service, like Chris Rock's video, how not to get your ass kicked by the police, comes in handy. There's a valuable message in there somewhere.
Yeah. So, I think they ought to put that on the video list for, you know, high schools.
Well, then they'd have to change it. How not to get your posterior. And then how are you going to deal with the transgendered children there? That opens up a whole new can of worms.
You might how to not get your sitting surface, whatever that, I don't know.
How not to get your feelings hurt by the police.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That all came about the time when they started giving out trophies for participation.
Oh, boy. There. Don't start me down that road. We won't even do any Medicare stuff if I have.
I know. OK, so I'll let you get back to the Medicare business.
And I want to do your favorite episode type today, which is a visit to the MLM mailbag. I've already put my falconry glove on and I reached way down inside where the oldest and the smelly of the letters are, and I know there's something living in the bottom of that leather bag because I could feel the nibbling on my glove. But someday I'm going to have the marks in the glove analyzed at a laboratory to see if they can identify the life form that's down in that dark primordial ooze. But I grabbed a handful. These things are not related. They don't tell a story. It's just my correspondence with some of the people that have been curious and written to me, and others have actually become friends and clients because I sell insurance, as Randy is wont to say, and I help a lot of people get their Medicare-related ancillary insurance. I help them figure out how to enroll in Medicare Parts A and B, and then I help them get the Medicare supplement and the drug plan that they're going to need for complete coverage. So first one is a guy named William. And William wrote to me, and there's no date on this. He says, "Hey, Doug, appreciate your info emails." And I think what he's talking about is the periodic blogs that come out from Randy's palatial suite of offices. Every time we release a podcast episode, there's kind of an announcement of it as to what the topic is and everything. I think that's what he's talking about here. He says, "I have an older copy of your book. I'm 62 this year and will need a refresher in a few years when I sign up for Medicare. Do you publish updated books?" And then in parentheses, he says, "I imagine you do." Then he says, "I use the Kindle. Thanks for sharing your expertise." And he said, "Here's my phone number." I think he's looking for a free Kindle version of the new book. That's what I think, because every book that we've put out over the years has the year on it. And this one is no excuse. However, it is very new to the marketplace. I was really late this year. Instead of doing it in December, I wound up doing it in March. So I said, "Thank you for writing, Mr. So-and-so. If you search Amazon for Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022, you will find the newly published book in Kindle, paperback, and hardcover. I'm working on the audiobook version as we speak. If you like the current book, I would really appreciate having you leave a short written customer review. Be sure to contact me when you're ready to enroll. I will be happy to act as your agent for Medicare supplement and prescription drug plans. Sincerely," and I sign my name. So it's nice to know that he's going to be waiting in somewhere between 2 and 3 years, and I'll get to hear from him again. So what else do we have? I have a married couple here. Lewis and Roxanne, they know who they are. They are among my new clients. They're very, very satisfied. They were very fun to deal with through the process of getting them both to understand what would work well for them and to get the enrollment process taken care of. So this letter, I think, was written fairly recently. And yes, this is interesting. This is from Lewis. And he says, "I received this letter today from the Department of Health and Human Services. My wife received one just like it yesterday." He said, "Do you know if this is because of a late application?" What the letter he got was really odd. I'd never heard about this before, but it was a letter from the federal government. And it said, "Dear Lewis, prior to enrolling in your Medicare Part D plan, it appears you did not have prescription drug coverage that met Medicare's minimum standards. If your records show that you did have prescription drug coverage from December 1st to March 31st of 2022, you may be able to avoid paying the monthly late enrollment penalty by returning the enclosed form. And this whole thing had about 6 or 8 pages to it. There was a form, there were some regulations described. And frankly, I went back and looked at my application for Lewis and Mrs. Lewis, and I had done everything correctly on the application. Somebody had a bad salami sandwich or something for lunch at Medicare, at the federal government, because they made a mistake and somebody pushed a wrong button and indicated to the powers that be that the Lewises did not have drug coverage on their employer health plan, which they had prior to enrolling in Medicare. And I thought, that's pretty screwy. So I wrote back to Lewis and I said, this is a complete mystery to me. I have gone through your file and I cannot see a rational reason why your prior coverage, which terminated on February 28th, is not completely satisfactory. Therefore, I can only think of 2 reasons for this problem. Either they don't consider drug coverage provided by your employer, which is a huge, huge vehicle manufacturing company. Either they don't consider that drug coverage to be creditable, or much more likely, this is simply an oversight on the part of some clerk. If I were you, I would take them up on the option. They, in the letter, they offered several ways to contact them. And the simplest seemed to be, as much as I hate to say this, picking up the phone and calling the office of the people who sent out the warning letter. So he said, if I were you, I would take them up on the option of telephoning the insurance company. They said call the Part D insurance company back, not the government, and to see how simple it is to straighten it out. However, this might become onerous to you, or you might want me to complete the form that they sent and submit it for you. If that's the case, just let me know. By the way, I agree that any penalty, especially one that is a result of somebody else's mistake, is intolerable and must be eliminated. However, I would be surprised if their penalty calculation would exceed $1.25 per month. So you're not going to go broke, but it would still be irritating and annoying to have a penalty that you didn't deserve. So I said, however, we can ensure that this apparently erroneous penalty will disappear. So I kept this because I wanted to let the audience know that it's remotely possible, but it is entirely possible that somebody somewhere is going to make a mistake and you could get one of these letters that looks frightening. It appears to be threatening, but basically it's the result of somebody's error. They pushed a wrong button. They put a wrong check mark in the wrong form and bang, your client Lewis gets a threatening letter in the mail. So I said, why don't you call him back and see what they have to say for themselves? I believe he must have done it, but he never came back to me and said, oh yeah, I did it. I fixed it. They said everything's okay. They apologized. I haven't heard the final result. So this was like a week and a half ago. I'm hoping to hear from Lewis that he managed to fix it on his own. Otherwise, I'm going to be helping him do it. And I'm probably not as nice as Lewis would be about the whole thing, because I don't like it when my clients are needlessly threatened. So, Randy, how are we doing time-wise?
We have 1 minute and 35 seconds left.
Boy, we spent a lot of time talking about the Oscars.
We never
expected that we would spend any time talking about the Oscars.
You know, life is funny, Doug.
Life is funny and odd. Sometimes it's very odd. All righty. One more piece of correspondence from one of my favorite people. This gentleman's name is Dominic Regina. And he said, hey, Mr. Jones, just as a background, I'm finally looking to retire at the end of the year and join the ranks of one of your MLM favorite clients. And he would be too. In the meantime, my wife retired in January of this year and started to collect Social Security. She'll be 65 in November, and she is currently covered under my employer's medical insurance. I understand that since she is collecting Social Security, the Social Security Administration will automatically enroll her in Medicare Parts A and B, effective November 1st. That's my daughter's birthday, by the way, and my grandmother's birthday, and one of my daughter's son's birthday and the birthday of the guy across the street from me here in Arizona and his wedding anniversary for wedding number two. So a lot of fun things happen around November 1st. Anyway, Dominic goes on to say, since she doesn't yet need Part B coverage, is there any way that I can prevent the automatic enrollment? Part A is fine, but I don't want Part B to start until she is no longer covered under my company's plan. As always, thank you in advance for your pithy response. Now, he didn't say pissy. He said pithy. So I said, hi, Dominic. When the feds mail Mrs. Regina's notification of the automatic Medicare enrollment, it should include a reply card. After that card is returned to them in the mail, it will result in a postponement of her Part B enrollment. And then a few months before D-Day, she can go online, initiate her enrollment, and request the effective date of her choice. Of course, we are talking about the government here, so don't bet the farm, but I expect that you're going to be okay. And so that was my correspondence with Dominic, but I thought the rest of the audience might also benefit from knowing that you're not trapped when the government decides to automatically enroll you in parts A and B because you're taking Social Security payments. There is a way to postpone that enrollment. So I'm guessing that I blew that last minute, right, Randy?
You have spent your last minute.
One time I shot my wad. I was in a business presentation with a bunch of ladies that ran an insurance agency, and they took umbrage at that.
They did.
They thought it was dirty talk, and I had in mind a shotgun.
That's just shotgun hunting talk.
Absolutely. I had a skeet range back then, and I was just thinking about, well, you know, when I reload my shells, the wad goes in, the powder goes in, then the wad goes in, then the shot goes in. And so,
yeah,
I was misunderstood.
Yes, I can imagine. I can imagine that being misunderstood. But you know something? We need to wrap her up. We have spent our time.
Yeah.
We are going to bring it in for a landing. But before we do, there's a couple, three things I always need to take care of just to remind people. Doug needs to have mail in his mailbox or he gets very, very owly.
I don't quite know what owly is, but I scraped the bottom this last time around. So,
yeah, I mean, literally, he's down into the primordial ooze with his gloves. Let's see if we can get him a little bit higher up in the mailbag so at least he doesn't have to put surgical gloves on there to get anything. And his email address is dbj@mlmmailbag.com. I'd like to remind everybody that the 2022 version of the Medicare for the Lazy Man book is out. The audio is, I think that's published now too, right, Doug?
The audio is published, but it has to be sent to them. And then they used to sit on it for 3 or 4 months. I'm hoping that they don't do that anymore.
Okay, so all we know for sure is they're in the sitting on mode. You know, it's like a chicken. We're like chickens waiting for something to hatch.
We're creating new life here.
Yes, yes. Let's put it that way. And the Kindle, where's that at?
The Kindle is right there. It's ready to go. People have been purchasing the Kindle edition and the paperback edition. And I bought myself because I had never seen an Amazon hardcover. So I thought, boy, that's crazy that anybody's going to buy a Medicare how-to book in hardcover version for extra money. But what the heck? I'm going to buy one myself and just see what it's like. So I bought, and this was the same day that your books were ordered too, the ones that showed up at your house.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And so they said, okay, the paperback books will arrive in 2 days. The Kindle version that you ordered is showing up. I wanted to make sure it looked okay on my Kindle. And the hardcover book will arrive April 18th.
This year, right?
I assume. They didn't get real specific.
You might want to clarify that, Doug.
I don't think they've got this hardcover thing perfected yet. So that's going to be another 30 days on top of the delivery.
How in the world can it take 30 days to print a book?
But here's what I did for the people that want to buy a solid hardcover book version of our paper of our Medicare advice, I cut the price to the bone. So I'm barely making any profit on the hardcover book at all. It's $17.
Yeah.
So you can pay $8 for the paperback, which I recommend, or $380 for the Kindle version if you've got a Kindle.
Or
$17 for the hardcover. I don't think I'm going to be selling a lot of those.
You know, you just never know, because that's probably going to be very valuable at some point in the future.
Well, I hope people ask me to autograph their copy.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to do that.
If I had one, I would do that.
Okay. You're not likely to ever see a hardcover
version. Oh, darn it.
You just tell me when you need some more paperbacks and I'll have them headed your way.
So the next time we gather together up around the Fortress of Solitude to go check out the local chip.
Yep.
Could you at least let me hold it to look at it?
The hardcover?
Yeah.
I'm not going to see it until the end of April. I wrote the damn thing and they won't give me one any faster than that.
Oh, dear. That, as they say back in the Midwest, that there's funny.
Yeah, well, it's kind of pathetic, too, if you really want a hardcover book. But I'm recommending to people that take the paperback or take the Kindle. It's got all the information you need, and it's a lot less money.
And I thank Larry the Cable Guy for that expression, because I love that. I love that expression. But so we need to close up shop here, Doug. We need to thank everybody for joining us. By the way, Doug sells insurance, in case you didn't know that. We need to close up shop, get your books, get your audios, get all that stuff taken care of, and then send Doug an email and let him know you did, because that will make him very, very happy. But in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, and now the guy who is considering buying a new company that will construct cages around the comics. So
can't
that
wait to you, see where you, this winds up.
So that you cannot throw a bottle at them. You can't get next to them. They do this in Texas. Have you ever seen this? They used to put chicken wire up in front of the bands.
Well, I did see the Blues Brothers, and that's where I learned that can happen in the South.
Yep. So we're considering starting a new company. It's called Comic Protection.
I have to believe that nobody's going to be throwing beer at me, because I'm just going to drink it. So,
well, that's true. So thanks, everybody. We appreciate you joining us. We couldn't have any fun without you.
Thank you, Randy. Bye-bye.